and put your finger there, and then I want to go to Isaiah chapter 55. So keep your finger in Timothy, and then let's go to Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to read there first. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Again, if you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Look, if you would, in verse 15, the Bible says, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, but if I tarry long, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, right now, the mystery of godliness that we want to preach is Jesus. He was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in his spirit without sin, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up the glory. That is the mystery of godliness. Now, if you turn one more place with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, the Bible says, and it's talking about the Antichrist, in verse number 3 it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery, notice this word mystery again, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now I believe what he's talking about there is the Holy Spirit that withholds the Antichrist from coming. Now if you follow these two comparisons about the mystery, one is a mystery of iniquity, the other one is a mystery of godliness. Now, if you notice, godliness, Jesus, was truth. The Antichrist, if you read about him here, is a lie. One's a holy one, one's a lawless one. One is a man of sorrows, the other one's a man of sin. One is the son of God, the other's son of prediction. One's mystery of godliness, one's mystery of iniquity. The Bible speaks of all kinds of mysteries in the Bible. But we're living in a dangerous time. Brother Greg was telling us back there in prayer room, said he talked to several people and said seeing people walk the aisle anymore is getting so thin in churches. The Bible says that we are to seek the Lord while he's near, while he can be found. The Bible teaches us that there'll be two mysteries. And mysteries are things that are revealed now to us that was foretold in the Old Testament without clarity. There's some other things that was. I'll share them with you. Then I want to get back to these two just a moment and share a truth or two with you. First of all, there was a mystery of incarnation, that Jesus would come born of a woman, a virgin. People didn't understand it until Jesus came. Until God reveals something, you can't completely understand those things. Ephesians chapter 6 says there's a mystery of gospel. Some people said, well, I know the gospel inside out, and I'm not saved. That's not true. Until you get saved, you won't know the gospel. Only God can reveal himself to you. Not only that, but also in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible speaks of Christ in the church as being a mystery. In other words, there's some things that the Jewish people didn't understand about the church. How that Jew and Gentile both would come together. That would be a mystery into one body. He talks about it and calls it a mystery in Ephesians chapter 3, how Gentile and Jew would come together. Not only that, but also in Colossians chapter 1, the indwelling of Christ, how that he would indwell in us. People say, well, I don't understand how Christ indwells in us. Well, someone give the illustration. Brad back there was saying something the other day about having sweet tea at his house. He said he knows whose drink that is because he's on one of his house drinks sweet tea. And, well, I like sweet tea too, but if you make sweet tea, you take a water and you take a tea bag. I read that illustration somewhere, and you could take and you put that tea bag in the water, and it doesn't change the fact of what the tea bag is, neither does it change the fact of what the water is, but the tea will have an effect upon the water. That's what Christ does to us. When we get saved, we are still what we are, but he comes and dwells in us. He is like the tea, and we're like the water. We are affected by his indwelling. In other words, he affects who and what we are. Amen. And Brother Junior was talking this morning. He said we always got to be careful about judging whether someone's saved or not. But there are fruits. When Christ dwells in you, there's some difference that he makes in our lives. Amen. Now, not only that, but also we have the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, talked about in Matthew chapter 13, how that Christ would come. He would be the pearl of great price, and he would come all the way through until he would come back and take the kingdom. Also, as the mystery that Brother Junior read this morning and over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's the mystery of the rapture, the catching away. How that one moment you would be there, and Paul said he wanted to tell you a mystery. In a moment, in twinkle of an eye, you'll be called out. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 17 that there's a mystery of Babylon. We know that Babylon, the old religious system, is going to come to prominence during the last days. We're seeing her do that right now. Not only that, but we also know that she will be affecting the government, the kings of the earth. She is doing that right now. She is a great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, getting back, and let me share just this simple truth with you a moment. But I want you to listen to me because it's of grave importance. You have two mysteries, and only God can reveal himself to you. The Bible says that you are to seek him. Somebody said, why can't we see people saved? Well, it's sort of like someone who's a thief looking for a police officer. He doesn't do it because he doesn't want to find him. Most sinners don't want to find Christ. And you try to convince them they need to be seeking the Lord, and what's happening right now is this. We are living in a time of seducing spirits. The seducing spirits are everywhere we turn. They're seducing people to believe a lie. They're seducing people to turn away from Christ. They're seducing people to turn away from the Word of God. You see, only through the Word of God we find who God really is. Three things about God that you need to know. And by the way, sometimes we say God works in mysterious ways. You know where that comes from? Anybody know where that comes from? It's not a verse in the Bible. I've heard people come up to me, well, the Bible says God works in mysterious ways. It does teach that he works in mysterious ways, but it doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, there was a guy by the name of William Cowper that wrote a song, God Works in Mysterious Ways. And even God worked in mysterious ways in his life. He also wrote that song. You might not be familiar with that song, but I bet you'll be familiar with this song he wrote. There is a fountain filled with blood. Beautiful song. He wrote that song. But really, when you read the history, his history, he was raised in a pastor's home, and he was in the 18th century. And he was always struggling with depression. As a matter of fact, he tried to commit suicide 3 different times. He had all kinds of issues in his life. And he was being trained back then. They trained their children in the profession they want to go in. And he was being trained and raised and taught to be a lawyer. As a matter of fact, the House of Commons over in England, they wanted him to come and be an accountant for them. And he went and he stood before them and he got so scared that he couldn't speak a word. And then he went out and he tried to commit suicide. And he was put in an asylum. And he began to write poetry when he was in there. And he come out, and there was one other time that when he got out, he decided he would go drown himself in a river and jump off in a river and drown himself. And I read the story where he got a horse-drawn carriage to take him to the river. And it was real foggy that day, at night, and they got lost. And so finally, after going around and around, he told them to just stop and let him off. He'd find the river itself. And when he let him off, he was right at his own doorstep. It was that foggy, and he figured God had sent. And so after 3 attempts, he decided that he would try to study the Bible and figure out who God was. And he began to seek God. And God began to work in his life, and he wrote those songs. That God works in mysterious ways. There is a fountain. And when you read that 4th verse of that song, it's no doubt that he knew what that fountain was about. Because he talks about his own testimony, how he was led to the stream, and how that he found who God was. You need to understand, God is a mystery, but he can be known. But you have to seek him. The Bible tells us how. You got to seek him, why he is near. It implies that God's not always going to be around. It implies that you'll not always have an opportunity to be saved. Right now, time and time again, everybody's got things to do on Sunday anymore. They don't have time for God. Everybody's got all these activities. They're busy. They're not thinking about God, not thinking about eternity. And they think somewhere down the road that God's going to give them that opportunity if they need it. Some people believe that they'll be able to die and make a decision after that, but the Bible clearly teaches. See, this book tells us who God is. You can't know God, but also this book teaches us that God is so great and he's so big and so vast that you can't know. He's beyond knowing. But Jesus came and he was a mystery of godliness. He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." He said, "You want to know who the Father is and who God is? Look at me." And so he taught us a lot of things about God. But what I want you to understand is that Jesus was sent so that we might know God. And he told them, he said, "If you don't love me, you don't love God, the Father. You don't know me, you don't know the Father. Amen. I and the Father am one." And so what we need to understand is we need to be thankful to this night. If we know and we have been brought to understand the mysteries of godliness, who God was, where he came from and what he did and how he came and he died upon the cross of Calvary. I'm so glad that we got a church that still opens the Bible and still reads the Bible and studies the Bible. Amen. I'm glad that we still have one that the Bible is above all of us. Right. It makes all of us sinners saved by grace. It teaches all of us where we came from and where we're going and why we're here. But it also teaches us about God. God revealed in his book things that we might know about him. And so when we learn things about God, we learn that he's everywhere. We learn that he knows everything. We learn that he's able to do all things. But then we also learn that he so loved us that he sent his only begotten son. and through the teachings and through drawing ourselves and being near. And that's why I encourage all you parents, to bring your children to Sunday school. Let them be exposed to the teaching. Because I'm telling you, there's two spirits at work right now. The spirit of godliness and the preaching and all those things. Jesus asked this question himself. He knew and taught that it was going to fade. And he asked this question. He said, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? He knew that what was going to happen was, through the church of Laodicea, the true people being saved was going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And the spirit of iniquity was going to work. People were going to begin to buy and believe into a lie. The great falling away that the Bible said would take place in the last days is a falling away from the truth, the word of God. They're going to believe whatever somebody rises up and says. And it's amazing. You can stand up and start teaching a false doctrine and fill a church regardless of how many seats you have. It's amazing. And somebody said, well, I get tired of hearing the same old story. Well, there's only one story that will save you. Amen. And that's the story of Jesus. Amen. And the only way you'll ever know God is through Jesus. He is, and so we still preach the gospel. And if you don't want to believe with your heart and trust in him and come and surrender to him, listen, you'll never be saved. You can say it, and what you need to understand is all the things that's out there at work right now that you see that are teaching and leading and drawing people away from Jesus is nothing but the spirit of Antichrist. We see his spirit everywhere because he's soon coming. And listen, Paul reveals all these mysteries. And the mystery that Brother Junior was talking about is this. The very next thing that's going to happen is this. One of these days, we're just going to be going and living our lives, doing our things, and all of a sudden, Paul says, we're going to get called away. The Bible says, "In not in a blink of an eye, but what? A twinkle of an eye. Just in a twinkle. Everybody's going to disappear. Somebody said, well, I don't understand how that'll happen. It's not up to you to understand that. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that's going to happen. Well, if you're alive during that time, you'll probably be left behind. And maybe you say, well, I'll figure things out then. No, the Bible says that when those left behind, God's going to send a strong delusion. They're going to believe a lie. You know who the lie is they're going to believe? The guy who comes and rescues everybody called the Antichrist in the Bible, the beast, the son of prediction. And so what I want you to understand is this, and I know this has not been much of a message, but it's truth that what's happening is this. We are seeing the seducing spirits. We're seeing people being led away. We're seeing people not find Jesus, not know about God. How many times do you talk to people that they talk to you about things about Jesus or God, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about? Even people that goes to church. I talked to one guy one time, and he worked for me in the Ammon service, and I was driving with him, and he went to a church. I could tell you the church, but I'm not going to. But at that time, I asked him, I said, are you saved? He said, yeah, I guess I am. He said, I've been to church all my life. I said, well, do you understand about Jesus, what he did, who he was? He said, what do you mean? I said, do you understand that he was the Son of God that come and he was born through a virgin woman, and he came to the earth, and he came to die upon the cross of Calvary? He said, no. He said, we don't teach that around our church. I said, well, what do you teach about? Well, it was all social stuff. Everything was social stuff. And you know, I've noticed a lot of these inner city, especially the black churches, but I've noticed a lot of inner city churches, they've all turned to social issues. They don't preach the gospel anymore. They preach politics. It's all politics. It's all about trying to get this and trying to get that and trying to get this. When we went to the Indian Reservation a while back we went through on a mission trip, we stopped at the Indian Reservation, and it's amazing. We went through, and everywhere you turn, all they were doing is they were having meetings, and they were teaching them how to get more government money. Everywhere you turn. But the amazing thing was you drove through, and several of you were here that went with me at different times, You drive through those reservations and you drive through the little villages. You look into the eyes and there'd be no soul in their eyes. The Indians had the highest rate of suicide of all young people, of all ethnic groups. Alcoholics, drugs. You drive through and all you see is a bunch of tents and little buildings put together, just shabby shacks. And the only thing that's big in there is two things. One is the casinos, and the other one is drug rehabilitation centers. They're all big, got lights flashing everywhere, but all little shacks everybody lives in. The sad part about it is those people are being sold. Their souls are being sold. And you go and they want to hear about social programs that they can get money. But when you go places to try and preach the gospel's not received much anymore. People doesn't have an interest in gospel much anymore. You know the sad part about it is people in this county. How many churches do we have in this county? And I wonder sometimes how many people's going to die and go to hell because they didn't take time to find out who God really was. The Bible says to draw near to him while he can be found. If you're here tonight, I want you to understand there's coming a time when you're not going to be able to find him. There's coming a time when the Holy Spirit leaves, you'll not be drawn. The Bible says no man can come to the Father except he be drawn. Everything the Bible says is going to be happening in the last days, we're seeing it all around us. We're seeing the changing. You young people, you don't realize it. You don't realize what a drastic change this country has made over in the last 30, 40 years. You don't understand how everything the Bible predicts, how that people in the last days will be running to and fro. Always going. We used to not do that. Matter of fact, I remember when I was a boy, Sunday you couldn't go nowhere because nothing was open. You couldn't even get gasoline. You couldn't even get a gallon of gasoline. Gas stations were closed. There was restaurants. They were closed, and you rarely ate out. Mom, bless her heart, Dad would we'd go to church, and there might be two or three families standing there, and Dad just invited them to go home with us. She'd end up having to find something to cook. But anyway, the point was that things were so much slower. Knowledge should be increased. Everything that we're seeing today, we're just seeing it right and left. And so tonight, you know, this morning we preached a lot about the fact that God's ways are different than our ways.
Amen.
But tonight what I want you to think about and what I want you to go away with is this. God's made a way that we can know him, even though he's such a thing that we can never completely know all about God because our minds just can't reach that level. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that there are things about him that's just impossible for us to understand. Matter of fact, I'm going to read one more verse before I close, but I want to take you to Romans chapter number 11. In Romans chapter number 11, the Bible says there in verse number 36, it says, "For of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." In other words, everything that was made for him. Everything was made of him. Matter of fact, if you go up in verse 33, notice it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? And who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." In other words, He is so much beyond understanding because he is so complex about God.
Amen.
I mean, how can you figure out that God can be everywhere? How can you figure out he can be here and over there and over there and over there, and he knows all things? The Bible says he knows your thoughts afar off. He knows you every time you sit down. He knows every time you rise up. He knows where you go. He knows what you say. The Bible says even darkness is light unto him. How can you recompense that in your mind? How can you recompense that he just walked out one day and God said, let there be light, and there was light? How can you recompense that in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth? How can you fathom that about a God, and how can you come? You can't. But through his word, we can get to know him. And if we seek him while he can be found, we can be saved. I just want to end with this thought here. I'm glad I found him.
Amen.
I'm glad that I was able to find him. But Paul warned us that these last days are very perilous days. Children, be disobedient parents. Children would be lovers of their own self. Men would be truth breakers. On and on and on and on and on and on. And all this we're seeing, all these movements we're seeing, all prophesied in the last days. As it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. All these things we're seeing. You better seek him while he can be found.
Amen.
If you haven't found him, you seek him while he can be found. Because there's coming a time when he can't be found.
That's right.
And if death finds you before you find him, the Bible says there's no hope beyond the grave.